Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.
So you want to sell your wash. Now, this is a little bit of a controversial topic. People are getting acquired a lot, not as much as they were at one point in this kind of growth trajectory, but it is a very important conversation. And as this industry evolves and adapts and grows, one of the really important things is that the folks who are in this industry have great resources and great opportunities to learn how they can prepare themselves and how they can make themselves aware of all of their options, right? Whether they want to sell, what does that look like, whether they want to keep growing. So to do that conversation, we've got a really interesting panel for you. Joining me today, we've got Dave D'Alessandro, I guess formerly of JetBright or still of JetBright? That's a confusing subject. We're not going to go there just yet. We will talk about that. We've got David Miller from Zips, and then down at the end of the seat in the excellent suit is Jeff Pavone from Amplify Car Wash Advisors. Guys, welcome.
Thank you.
All right, perfect. Here we go. Good to be here. So let's start with maybe a quick introduction from each of you, and we'll start right here with Dave. Can you just kind of give everybody lay of land, who you are, kind of what you do?
Yeah, Dave D'Alessandro, and together with my business partner of 30 years, Sam Youssef, we started JetBright Car Wash 20-some years ago, and actually we've been in the business since 1984, so it's going on 40 years. In addition, we own an equipment company where we sell and install car wash equipment as well, but we ran these two companies for basically our entire adult life. And why we're here today is because 6 months ago, we made a very heart-wrenching decision, and we sold our car wash chain in the Chicago suburbs to Zips Car Washes.
Excellent. Thanks, Dave. David, how about you?
Yes, so my name is David Miller. I'm head of mergers and acquisitions for Zips Car Wash. Previously was a tunnel owner and operator as well, so sold my car wash last summer so I can share a little bit of that perspective, and then before that worked for Natural Car Wash Solutions. So happy to be here.
Excellent. Jeff.
I am the partner of Amplify Car Wash Advisors along with Bill Martin. We help car wash operators maximize their value, and then eventually we help them sell or exit their business through an M&A process.
Excellent. Okay, so now we're going to unpack where we started, Dave, and that's with kind of this decision to sell. You know, JetBright was really like this, a fantastic operation. It's something that you spent a lot of time building, and it was for your family, right? This was something you did, and I had the opportunity to visit your washes a few times, and I appreciate so much the quality of that wash and the quality of what you built. And so I have a really sincere appreciation for you sitting here next to me today, and I just want to know if you are willing to kind of share a little bit about that path and that journey and why you got where you are.
Are you saying why we got car washes or why did we sell?
Why did you sell?
Why we sold?
Yeah.
Well, the standard 10-word answer is that we felt the professionalism of the buyers would give our car washes the best opportunity going forward to protect our brand and our employees and offer a great partnership opportunity. That's the standard 10-word answer.
Right.
And honest to God, if I see that press release one more time with that same answer in it, I'm going to roll my eyes and throw up. Okay, it's just not the answer that is true or that anybody really wants to hear. The truth is, when you spend your lifetime building a business, and I'm talking about four decades, okay, the decision to sell is not a 10-word answer. It's a long, grueling process to get to that decision. It's gut-wrenching, okay, and it doesn't happen overnight. Okay, in our case, it starts with this guy. Okay, coming to Chicago every 6 months, dragging us to dinner at Gibson Steakhouse, saying, you should sell now, you're a premium car wash chain, we could get you an unbelievable valuation. And okay, so we won't beat around the bush about the 800-pound gorilla. An unbelievable valuation, okay? That's what he was pitching. And after about the sixth time he's come to town and we go to dinner, my partner Sam says, why are we going to dinner with him again? What, he's just going to give us the same thing and pressure us to sell. I says, because he picks up the tab, and I always like to get him with the tab and gives him Steakhouse. That's no, you know, that's no cheap tab. You know. But the sixth time, he threw us a curveball. Instead, he says to us, I know you're not going to sell, but if you ever did, what would that deal have to look like? Ooh, okay. So we went home that night, and the next day, Sam and I, we kicked that around, okay? And what we came back with, it was a fair question, and it deserved an answer. What we came back with is we felt that we were really a premium chain of car washes. Whether or not we were or not is other people's decision to ask, but we felt we had something very special. And we felt our valuation had to reflect that. Okay, so we said point blank, if Jeff, if you can come back with people that are willing to start talking at this level, okay, we would continue the conversation. We didn't promise anything more than that, but we would continue the conversation. And like the guy he is, he comes back in 2 weeks, okay, with 5 offers, ready to talk at that level. Okay, so you got to give him credit for that, okay, and that shows you some of the demand that was out there. But you all remember this was a year ago, exactly a year ago, when valuations were at their highest. Okay, so one of the decisions we had asked ourselves was that with valuations this high, this opportunity is not going to last forever. We may not want to sell, and nobody else here may want to sell. But if you're going to sell, this is the time. So it's either sell now or keep them forever. You got to remember, our dream was never to build a great company and sell it for a lot of money. Yeah. Our dream was to build a great company and make it greater. And then we die and our kids take it over and they make it greater. And on and on and on and on. That's the dream that nobody really likes to admit, but that's everybody's dream, okay? Yeah. So it was never a consideration to sell. But sure enough, when it came down to it, that now that Jeff came back with these offers, we had to get serious. And we had to sit in a room and grind this out with my 2 sons who ran the day-to-day operation, my partner Sam, his son who's involved in the business, and his brother that was with us from the start. We had to grind this out. And there was 4 factors that came to fruition at the end that pushed us to this decision. And I'm sorry not to make too much time here, but I'll give you those 4 factors. First was that wake up every day, go to work at a successful company with your best friend and your 2 sons. Who wants to give that up? So that was the first barrier that came up to play. And it was my younger son that says, Dad, we still have the equipment company. We'll still be together every day. We'll still work together every day. What else matters? So that was like a boom. That was like a tornado hitting the room, knocked me over in my chair. It's like, okay, let's go on to the next thing, okay? It wasn't a factor, but the employee is the 800-pound gorilla that you cannot move forward with this decision without settling that issue. Yep. Okay, you can't. These are people that, like family members, have been with you since the beginning, have dedicated themselves and their careers, put them in your hands, and helped you build the success that you have. Yep. Okay, so it's a given that we were going to get this price. It's a given that anybody that bought us was going to be in a position to offer our employees a great career path. Every one of these consolidators out there is growing, okay? They need talented management. They were all going to have a secure job. That wasn't enough, okay? What came down to is there had to be enough money in the deal so that we can give these key people life-changing bonuses, like go buy yourself a new house bonus, okay? That was the only way we were going to be able to live with ourselves in this deal. Fortunately, the deal had that in it, and we were able to do that, and we were able to. Now, it doesn't relieve all of the guilt you feel when you sell your car washes and have to move on without your employees, but it does cushion it. And it certainly lets you go away saying we did the best we could. And we do feel that we did. But moving on from there, the other 3 factors that became a big thing is one of them is now, like I said, you're gonna make 2 decisions. Either sell now while the time is right or keep them forever. When we look out the distance, and this is the crystal ball. This is what you have to do to sell your car wash. You have to pull out your crystal ball. You have to predict the future, and based on that prediction, make the most difficult decision of your life.
Easy.
Okay. Right. Easy. Yeah. No problem. So we all got that crystal ball, right? So when looking out at the future, the problem that number one that doesn't reflect the car wash industry is the state of Illinois where we were based. Okay. The future in the state of Illinois is crumbling fast. Things do not look good. It's a war against business owners. Every business owner in the state is being bullied, shamed, intimidated, okay, and taxed into oblivion, okay? Next to that, crime has gone crazy, all right, as a result, and the only legislation protects the criminals, not the businesses, the people, and the residents. So the future of Illinois does not look rosy. When we look out 10 and 20 years, I'm not going to say it's going to change in 6 months. Okay, but that was a second big factor that we considered. We were an Illinois-based company, and we didn't feel comfortable with that, or investing further. The third factor, and this is the biggest one, and this is the one we should all really consider probably. We were growing very comfortably, because this is what I learned in business school. Grow at a safe, secure, slow, steady pace, and you will have a great balance sheet. You have a great business. We were growing 1 to 1.5 locations a year. We loved it. We can keep that pace. We can manage those facilities. We can keep operations going. And our balance sheet was great. We were building with little or no debt with each new location. Okay. Every Saturday, I would go and I would do my numbers. I would pull up my balance sheet and smile. I would bring that balance sheet to my bankers, and they wouldn't believe me. They would call me a liar. Nobody has a balance sheet this good. That's what slow, steady growth gives you. Okay. And that's great. We were still the number one player in the market. But guess what? All of our new competition, and we are not going to sell. And I said to my sons, we're not going to sell because of fear of competition. We don't make decisions out of fear. In fact, one of our favorite things to do was to beat up on our competition. That, you know, we were the bad guys. But the but looking forward, they were going to build 5 locations a year in our market. And that's not just one competitor, but 2, 3, 4, 5. So if we want to keep pace, we got to abandon building 1 a year with little or no debt and start building 5 a year. With an inflated cost, as the cost of building these car washes has gone up substantially, okay? At the time, we didn't know interest rates were going to go up, but now you add that factor in as well. But more importantly, now we're going to have to take on a lot of debt. So now our beautiful, pristine balance sheet is going to go, you know, in the tank. So that was factor number 3, and that was, to me, that was a big game changer as well. Lastly, we've been doing this for 40 years, and I'm so proud to be a car wash guy. You know what I mean? By every sense of the word, me and my partner, Sam's, were car wash guys, okay? Hands-on, in the trenches, washing cars for 4 decades, okay? And I love it, and I wouldn't change a thing, but I don't know if I want to be just a car wash guy for whatever life I have left. The liquidity event that takes place when you sell these car washes, and they lay this, by the way, it doesn't make you more wealthy. As my good friend Steve Goudreau once said, I was already wealthy. Okay, it just changes from being invested in business and real estate to being liquid with cash. And when they lay that kind of liquidity at your feet, it opens up all these doors to the whole world. Whether we want to travel the world, get involved in philanthropy, we want to cure cancer, we want to help educate people, we want all these things we can do, you know what I mean, take piano lessons, whatever, are now available. Because for 40 years, I've worked 7 days a week, and it was just a car washer. And I loved it, but now I think I want the little part of my life to be something beyond car washing. And that was the final factor. Sam and I both agreed, and we made the deal. And sure. Zips was fantastic.
That's a great story. I love that story. My most important question is, are you taking piano lessons?
No. But I like having that. The option to do it.
Yeah, right.
Okay? You just not wanting to do it is knowing you can.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I haven't even traveled.
You'll get there.
So.
I love that. Love that. Everything about that. But I want to ask Jeff, why did you keep coming, right? Why did you keep coming to Chicago and taking him out to dinner and kind of being persistent?
So I've known Dave for a long time. So for us, our whole business model is about relationships. So, you know, we never want to be that guy that's like knocking on his door when really they're not really a seller or interested. You know, it was always more... staying in touch. And Dave and I, again, we go back long enough. He said there will be a time when the number's right.
Yeah.
And again, the question I always ask everybody out there, and Dave included, is what are you going to do in 5 years from now, 3 years from now? Because if the answer is sell, the market at where it was peaking, I said, now's the time, because 2 years from now, you may not have that same opportunity. So you'll basically be working for free. So if you are going to be doing something, we knew the market was what is at its peak, and then the other questions that were being asked is, so, you know, and we listened and said, Dave, you know, what's important to you, right? Yeah. And so we really, you know, and his equipment company was ramping up, his development side was ramping up, so we knew he had a path to doing it. So it was really just really listening and, you know, staying in touch with our relationships. But never ever do we ever, like, I don't want to, like, if somebody really wants to keep a business for their family and their generations, that's kind of, you know, for me, I love it. It's a great, but I knew Dave at some point wanted to sell, and I felt that, you know, where the market was, we're going to be able to meet his goals, and so, and it all worked out.
Love it. Love it. David, let's hear a little bit about kind of the Zips perspective, right? Like, what was it that... made JetBrave valuable for you? And when you looked at that opportunity, what was it that you were looking for and really excited about?
Well, thank you. And I think that for us, you know, Zips wasn't your first choice. You know, I think we came in as a late entrant. So for us, you know, we saw in both, you know, Dave and Sam, you know, the passion they have for car washing, which is very important. It's a human capital. You know, their team members, the way they run the organization is very pristine. It's like a well-run oiled machine. And so for us, and quite honestly, you know, they had a very defensible market share in the Chicago metro market.
Yep.
So for all those reasons, we saw this as just an opportunistic way to come in with a strategic partnership, and we really see it as a partnership with Dave and the entire JetBright team. And so for us, those are some of the reasons we chose to go forward.
Well, and David, just to kind of follow up on that, if you were to fast forward to today, is that still a deal that you're looking to make? I mean, are you still searching and actively hunting for these kinds of opportunities?
Yeah, so it's a great question, because I think that, you know, we kind of talk about, you know, 12 months ago versus today, and I think a lot has changed since then. You've had, you know, 10 interest rate hikes. You've had, you know, a lot of things have changed in the economy. But at the same time, we're always looking for good deals. And I think that, you know, for anyone out there, opportunistically, a strategic partnership with JetBright or another type of deal out there is something we'll always consider. I think, you know, when Jeff mentioned the multiples and, you know, with it being as high as they were, I mean, there's been a recalibration because of just the higher cost of borrowing. And so for us, you know, we're sold to find something that we want to pay a fair and equitable price for what that deal would be. But at the same time, we're always open to new acquisitions that meet our strategic criteria and our footprint for Zips, but also for others that are out there in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, I'm going to come to you in just a minute. I want to make sure that if anybody does have questions out there and you want to ask those, I will save you a few minutes. If you think, I know you can't predict if you think you're going to have a question, but if you have a question right now, will you raise your hand for me? Okay, so we do have at least one. I will save at least time for one question. All right, so Jeff, I want to know, bringing us back to kind of current market trends here, as you are working with your clients, how has the conversation shifted, right? How are you talking to folks who are maybe interested in selling their wash? What are you saying to them? What are you coaching them on?
You know, I think probably the most important shift that we're, the discussions we're having with our clients is, you know, number one, build quality. Build like you're going to own it, whether you sell it or not. You've got to run your company like you're going to own it forever. So, you know, there's a lot of guys running out and buying sites and just for wherever and thinking they're going to go flip it and make it easy. Those days are over, right? There's nobody buying junk B sites. So if you're going to do something, do it right. Like again, what Dave and Sam did, you know, they built JetBright to keep forever, and they built the facilities right. They built it to wash a lot of cars. So that's number one, is built like you're going to keep it. You know, I would say there's a way to make up. So the turns on multiple came down, yeah, right? But the way to make it up is how? Get more profit. And so if you get hyper-focused on operations, you can make that up by, let's say you pick up an extra $200,000 of EBITDA on your site. Well, there you go. There's a couple million dollars. So if you lose a turn on something, you can make it up by operations. And I can tell you, there's, you know, we're seeing, you know, it's sort of that 80-20 rule. There's 20% of the operators just crushing it on operations, and 80% does okay. There's so much upside in operations. So that's what we're really, you know, really preaching to our clients, saying, you know, first off, A-plus real estate,
yep,
build a facility like you're going to keep it, and then learn how to operate. And I do think it's the other, you know, real important part is your team, right? At the end, you know, one of the things we have is more data than anybody on chains, and I can tell you this: the common characteristic of great chains is their people, right? And it's what they do off their site. Sometimes that matters most. So they have a corporate infrastructure and a team that drills down every detail. So it's not the one thing they do right; it's the 100 things they do right. But to a person of every premium chain that's out there, they've got one thing in common, and it's they if you look at the leadership, they really understand the value of their team.
Yeah, yeah. David, does that track with what how you all are kind of approaching things right now?
Absolutely, and I would say that, you know, for us, for Zips, really anyone out there that's looking to you know, acquire a car wash, first things first, you know, as Jeff mentioned, work to make sure that your business is as profitable as you can make it, and that's going to also make you just more attractive. We also look for trend lines, so we want to make sure that we're seeing, you know, up and to the right in terms of just revenues, UWC memberships, subscriptions, retail ticket. All those things are very important for us. And lastly, I think Jeff echoed, as an owner and operator, you know, Dave will echo this as well, that, you know, no one's going to care about your business more than you as an owner, because you're stroking that check every month to the bank.
Yeah.
And so the human capital, making sure that the little things like Jeff mentioned, all those things going into factoring into, you know, the overall valuation in the sale of that business. So I would say if you're considering selling a car wash and you're selling your business, you mentioned guilt, and it's kind of interesting because I felt that as well in terms of, you almost feel like, you know, your employees, like you're leaving them, but if you can give them a path. And so for us at Zips, we want the human capital. We want that aspect because that is the secret sauce that helps that car wash be competitive in that marketplace. And so, you know, making sure that you communicate to your teams that, you know, they do have a path forward, either with Zips or someone else, is very important, because at the end of the day, with labor shortages and just the labor market still, that's very important in our decision making.
Excellent. Let's go to our question. Can we get a microphone runner, please? The question was over here. If you can stand up for me, we're going to bring a microphone up to you, that, and then you can introduce yourself. So who you are, where you're from, what company you're with, and then ask your question.
Just a quick question. I should probably know this. I can Google it, but I'm Todd with Super Clean Car Washes in Rapid City, South Dakota. When Zips came in and bought you, did they change the name, brand them Zips, or are they still Jet Bright, or how does that work? I see so many acquisitions, like Mammoth, they'll buy a chain of car washes.
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. I mean, so for us, it really depends on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the acquisitions, you know, we see if they're in a Zips market, and we have the Zips brand equity, it makes sense for us to change that over after a certain period. Jet Bright's kind of a special case, because Jet Bright, again, to Dave's point, he's built that business up over... Correct. So the brand equity of Jet Bright made a lot of sense for us to leave at Jet Bright. Never say never. I mean, you know, we will, you know, someday consider that. But at the same time, we know that, you know, when we have a good thing. And so for us, it made sense to leave the Jet Bright name as it is for now.
Excellent. Anybody else have a question for our panelists? When did you open your first car wash, Dave?
Well, to be honest, I was in a full-service car wash back in Bolingbrook in 1984, and that's how I entered the business. But we sold that during the consolidation of the late 90s. But the first Jet Bright car wash was in Addison, Illinois, in 2000 it opened. What got us into car washing?
Yeah,
it was a really inspiration. I was attending college locally in the Chicago suburbs. And my father's friend, my father owned a gas station, and his friend had a gas station with a car wash. And the car wash was actually doing quite well. And he kept encouraging us to go down that path and I was going to follow my father into the gas station business. And in any case, there was a closed down, ratty down, crappy little closed down car wash, 65-foot tunnel. And, I mean, it was really horrible. I mean, it was just my first 14 years in the business were horrible. I bought it for next to nothing. I was just a college kid, but, you know, with a $20,000 loan from my grandmother and uncle, I was able to buy this car wash. But we struggled. I just had to work it open to close, and this, until what became my business partner Sam came along, and Sam can do things. He all of a sudden fixed the equipment, and everything was working. He painted the building, and it looked a lot nicer. Sided new grass. This and it, the place started looking better and better, and business started getting better and better, and it all went from there. Yeah. Oh, as a things you could do, okay, run for office. I would never, ever, ever run for office. Okay, I'll play the piano first.
Yeah.
But it certainly is one of the things you can do. Okay, this is, you know.
I like the joke. That's like a 40-year overnight success story, right?
Because
everyone kind of forgets all the.
Well, we only got a couple minutes here. You know what I mean? But yeah, it was ugly though. We did it the hard way. It was really, really ugly. So, yeah,
that's funny. Any other questions from the audience? Right,
so
here.
David, when you went, were considering selling your business, did you look into 1031 exchange options to minimize the tax that you pay in the sale of the business?
Well, with all the car washes that have been sold here in the last 5 years, the 1031 exchange has been a very popular option for a lot of people to roll the taxes. Okay, we chose not to do that. Okay. Part of the reason is that, you know, I have a very conservative accounting firm that does our taxes and they don't like those kind of red flags. When you start playing around with the 1031, it just opens up a lot of places where you can go where you shouldn't go. And we felt that 1031 isn't avoiding taxes. 1031 is just delaying them. You're pushing it down the road to the next sale, this and that. And if you recall, a year ago, there was a big push in Congress to raise the capital gain tax. Okay, so I was also a little afraid that, you know, right now we could pay 20%, but next year it could be 35%. Okay, if we push that tax down the road. So there's a risk to the 1031 exchange. It just wasn't an area that we wanted to play in, but it's certainly a solid option that a lot of people have used to defer, not delay, but defer that tax.
Okay, you guys can't ask any more questions because I have one more I want to ask. So here we go. This is because I am so inspired by your story, Dave, I want some advice from you and from you guys as well. I want to know, what's one thing that we can do today to be better tomorrow? Oof. We can make Jeff start.
The one thing we could do today is be better tomorrow. It would really come down to just training your people.
Yeah.
Okay. Operationally in this business, everybody's acquiring, everybody's growing and building. Okay. But you know, you got to stop and take a look. You're not going to be able to be successful. Look, the last 15 years, okay, it's been a land grab. To be successful in car wash, run out there, get to that property first, build your car wash. You're the first one there. The express model works. Easily copied. It works. They made money. The next 15 years are about competition. Now you're going to grab that same piece of land, and there's four other people you got to compete with. Okay? It's going to come down to the better operator, so you better train and invest your people, because that's what it's going to take. You're going to have to compete.
I love it. I love it. David.
I would also echo that, but in maybe a slight different way, is that better customer service. At the end of the day, customer service can mean standing out the kiosk and talking to customers, even standing in the express lane when unlimited customers come through and greeting them and saying hi, making sure that you process, someone that wants to cancel or maybe terminate their plan and do that with a smile. At the same time, doing those little things over and over again are going to make your car wash successful versus the competition, because that's the hardest thing to replicate. So I would say just, you know, make sure better customer service overall is going to win you more customers at the end of the day.
Excellent. Jeff?
So, I mean, in the same theme, I mean, I'm a big culture guy. And I think, you know, I don't care what company you have. You can have a car wash, you can have an advisory firm, you can have, you know, anything you want. Culture starts at the top down. And I really do think, if I were to tell anybody, you know, one thing is, you know, it starts with great leadership, but they've got to invest in that team. But culture starts at the top and works its way down. So it's how you lead your team.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.